You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, January 17th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. Still getting some stuff together because we have so many audio clips on today's show that I've been busy chopping up and recording a bunch of audio for our cannabis headline news, because the issue of marijuana legalization is on everyone's lips these days. Not just you and I, the tokers and the growers and the retailers, but the politicians out there are finally, after all this time, starting to get the message that marijuana legalization just might be popular. People just might support you if you're for legalization. Who would have thought? So we're going to talk about that. We got a number of stories in the cannabis headline news that are going to cover that. But also coming up in the What in the News segment, we're going to take an extended look at gubernatorial races all across the country and how interesting it's getting now, because support for marijuana legalization, you used to be able to bet that the Democrat would be for it, or at least kind of for it, and the Republican would be against it or very against it. Nowadays, those lines are becoming erased. It's becoming a nonpartisan issue. So we'll talk about that coming up right after the cannabis headline news. Also on the show today, I read this great piece written by a former NBA player, Al Harrington. He's one of many former professional athletes that are speaking out for marijuana legalization, and not just medical marijuana, but marijuana legalization. He's got a great story that he has penned. I'm going to bring some of it to you here on the podcast and just discuss in general the societal shift we are seeing with regard to cannabis and the treatment of the people who use it. So all that coming up today on the Marijuana Agenda. Also, quick note, you may have noticed, those of you watching on YouTube or watching the live stream, how casual I've been this week. A little scruff here on the beard and wearing some t-shirts. Well, I decided this was casual week. Don't ask me why, but just I decided it was casual week and I was going to wear t-shirts. All right, I'll tell you why. It's because I heard around the grapevine when somebody was talking about me, they say, isn't that the guy that always wears the suits? Isn't that that suit guy? I'm like, oh, is that what people think? I'm just a guy who wears suits. So I'm going to change it up a little bit with some t-shirts. All right, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. New Jersey's new Democratic governor reiterated a campaign promise to legalize marijuana during his inauguration speech on Tuesday.
A stronger and fairer New Jersey embraces criminal justice reform comprehensively. And that includes a process to legalize marijuana.
The newly revamped gubernatorial website now says the incumbent, quote, will end mass incarceration by pursuing the legalization of marijuana and comprehensively reviewing all criminal sentencing laws, end quote. Murphy campaigned on legalization, often touting its economic and social justice benefits in the face of opposition from Republican Kim Guadagno, who he soundly defeated in November. The Senate president says he is ready to pass a bill, and the sponsor of legalization legislation wants to send it to Murphy's desk within 100 days. In his fiscal 2018 New York budget address, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo suggested the Empire State should wait and see how legalization affects other northeastern states.
For the legalization, I have been in favor of states' rights. In other words, let the state work it out.
New Jersey may legalize marijuana. Massachusetts already has. On the other hand, Attorney General Sessions says he's going to end marijuana in every state. I think we should fund DOH to do a study, let them work with the state police, other agencies, look at the health impact, the economic impact, the state of the law.
In response to Cuomo, his Republican gubernatorial challenger, Joel Giambra, issued a statement opposing yet another study of legalization.
There's no more need to study this. It's time to be aggressive. It's time to be proactive because all the states around us are doing it. And we have to take advantage of what I consider a growing, if you will, no pun intended, economy.
Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen testified that people in the United States illegally who have marijuana possession on their criminal records will be prioritized for deportation. Secretary Nielsen was responding to questioning from New Jersey Senator Cory Booker shortly before the senator sternly rebuked the secretary in a now viral clip for her, quote, silence and amnesia, end quote, regarding derogatory comments made by the president regarding Haiti, El Salvador, and African nations.
But it's a felony for marijuana possession, say, that somebody might have done 10, 15 years ago. That's a criminal in your
yes,
definition.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And that person would be prioritized for deportation.
One of however many we agree on are here illegally, 11 million, yes.
Among the legal marijuana states, California and Oregon have established processes for the expungement of state-level marijuana felonies that are no longer felonies or even crimes in some cases. However, these processes do not affect any federal marijuana felonies on one's record. Secretary of Veterans Affairs David Shulkin is walking back claims that federal law prevents the VA from studying medical marijuana. Responding to questions from the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Shulkin responded that, quote, federal law restricts VA's ability to conduct research involving medical marijuana, end quote, a claim that was quickly debunked by the Brookings Institute's John Hudak, who wrote, quote, that claim is simply false. Nothing under federal law treats a VA researcher differently than it does a doctor at Sloan Kettering or a researcher at the University of Michigan, end quote. In follow-up testimony this afternoon, Marijuana Moments' Tom Angel reports that, quote, U.S. Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin clarifies that his department can do research on medical cannabis, but faces restrictions in doing so, end quote. Colorado Springs Gazette has released audio from an interview with then-presidential candidate Donald Trump that contradicts his Justice Department's recent actions regarding federal marijuana law enforcement. In 2016, when asked directly by the Gazette if, as president, he would order federal enforcement of marijuana law, Trump responded,
I'd want to see what the result is going to be.
That's fair.
I really do. I want to see, because I love the idea of states making the decision.
Trump was also asked about possible federal interference with medical marijuana, to which he replied,
I am in favor of medical marijuana. I've seen good things there. These are people very sick. These aren't people that are
You're
driving
listening to
down.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Now that California has legalized recreational marijuana, you need to get the latest expertise on the rules and regulations governing this multi-billion dollar market. The International Cannabis Business Conference is the longest running event of its kind in California. Join us at the Hyatt Regency San Francisco for the fourth annual ICBC and the first conference in California after legalization. You'll be treated to focused presentations from California's top industry experts, featuring the head of California's Cannabis Commission, Lori Ajax. At the VIP reception, you'll have the chance to meet marijuana legend and new cannabis entrepreneur, Tommy Chong. After the conference, you'll be treated to a VIP after party featuring DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill. It's the International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco, February 1st and 2nd at the Hyatt Regency. Visit internationalcbc.com for details. Make sure you log on to internationalcbc.com for your tickets to California's first marijuana business conference under legalization.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great
to infect and rot.
nation thought of it.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
Today in What in the News, we want to take a look at how marijuana legalization is becoming a bipartisan issue, and it's one in which I think the Democrats might be ceding some ground here and allowing Republicans to steal the issue from them. Let's start with words from Donald Trump. I didn't get all the clips played, had a malfunction in the clip player, so I wanted to play this clip from Donald Trump that was recorded back in summer of 2016, Colorado Springs Gazette, of course, asking him questions about marijuana legalization and whether or not he would order federal marijuana enforcement against states like Colorado that have chosen to legalize it. And this audio had not been released at the time. They're just releasing it now. And back then, Donald Trump was a states' rights guy.
For the legalization, I have been in favor of states' rights. In other words, let the state work it out. I'd wanna see what the result is going to be.
That's fair.
I really do. I want to see, because I love the idea of states making the decision.
So a states' rights attitude there during the campaign, and I heard this from a lot of people on the right side of my social media feed saying, Donald Trump would be better than Hillary Clinton. He's states' rights for marijuana. He's states' rights. He loves the states' rights issue. And, of course, he's for medical marijuana.
I am in favor of medical marijuana. I've seen good things. These are people very sick. These aren't people that are, you know, driving down the highway.
So I should hope by now people understand that what Donald Trump says or said during the campaign or even said last week doesn't necessarily comport with what he does, what actions his administration takes. Of course, Attorney General Sessions has already rescinded the Cole memo, the Ogden memo, the Wilkinson memo, all these Obama-era memos from around 2012, 2013 that were protecting state legal, tribally legal marijuana. He's rescinded those memos. He's given the green light to the U.S. attorneys to go ahead and resume those federal prosecutions that Trump, back in 2016, said he wasn't for, said he was for states' rights. Let the states work it out. And let's not forget, over the past week or so, we have heard some chilling comments from Donald Trump. Most recently, of course, he's been cited as praising the dictator in the, well, no, he's not a dictator, he was elected, but the president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, who has basically given the green light for vigilante gangs and cops to just kill, murder in the streets any drug dealers or users they happen to find. No trial, no way of determining, are they really a drug dealer? If we just suspect you are, they're going to kill you. And he has openly said, this President Duterte has openly said, he would give pardons to anyone who is tried or held to account for murdering drug users and drug dealers, alleged drug users and drug dealers. And back then, last year, when there was a phone call where the report was that Trump had praised Duterte, how he is handling the drug war, you're doing it the right way, I believe was the quote he had. And then back, I had the people say, no, don't make anything of that. Donald Trump, states' rights, he's states' rights. Well, what do you make of this statement that we just had of just a couple of days ago, where he was speaking to the women's luncheon?
And we're partnering with communities to end the scourge of drug addiction that has plagued our country. I mean, you talk about a problem. That's a problem that we are working very hard on. That's, Pam has worked very hard. Everybody here, even if they're not totally involved with that, they're all working hard on it. And some people within the family themselves, unfortunately, they're really working because they have people within the family that are in trouble. So that's number one on our list. If you look at what's gone on, there's never been a time like this. And it's a worldwide problem. Some areas take care of it through very, very tough measures. We don't. We're not prepared to do that, I guess they say, as a country. But we have a tremendous, massive drug problem and drug population. And
we're not ready to do that. They say, I guess they say we're not ready to get tough on people. Well, who is this they that he's referring to? Well, probably
people that have told them that, you know, we have things like the Constitution that still protect people, even people who use drugs. And you'll find in the last two or three pronouncements from Trump on the drug issue, how he's using this phrase, the opioids and the drugs in a more traditional sense. I don't know who put that bug in his ear, but drugs in a traditional sense is the one of the talking points, because I think what's going on here is they want to leverage the shock of 60,000, 64,000 overdose deaths and the fact that these overdose deaths are happening to white people in rural areas in Trump country. They want to be able to connect that to the drugs the black and brown people use, the drugs that the libtards on the West Coast legal states use, the drugs that those hippies use. They want to be able to leverage that, the real danger, the real crisis from opioids, and manufacture a fake crisis with all the other drugs. They aren't going to lump them all in together. That's the plan here at the federal level. But at the state level, we see the states are starting to rebel against this, and not just the friendly confines of the Western states, but some of these more Eastern and Midwestern states. We mentioned the Governor Cuomo, the Democrat, and this is where it's interesting, because you have a situation where Democrats in some cases are more timid than the Republicans. Andrew Cuomo there is talking about having a study commission.
New Jersey may legalize marijuana. Massachusetts already has. On the other hand, Attorney General Sessions says he's going to end marijuana in every state. I think we should fund DOH to do a study, let them work with the state police, other agencies, look at the health impact, the economic impact, the state of the law.
What more do these people need to know? How many studies do they need? Okay, we need a study, right? Because it's not as if four other states have already done this. Two of them have been doing it for 5 years. Two others of them have been doing it for 2 years. And there's four other states that are gearing up to do their programs. That's not enough data for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, apparently. We need another study. We need to study the health impacts, because, you know, the 25,000 results you get on PubMed.gov when you type in cannabis, that's just not enough studies. We don't have enough data. The 7,000 years of human history of using this plant and nobody dying from it, we just don't know enough about this. We just need another study commission, because, and the economic impacts, you know, sure, Colorado's raking in $1 billion in tax revenue. Sure, Washington State got $800 million in tax revenue. Sure, Oregon's bringing in hundreds of millions in tax revenue. But we're not quite sure what the economic impact would be. We better have another study commission. So there's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo, the liberal elite Northeastern, right? Supposed to be so hippy-dippy sunshine and light. And yet you turn to the New York Republican gubernatorial hopeful, former councilman of some sort, Joel Giambra is his name. Here's the Republican on the issue.
There's no more need to study this. It's time to be aggressive. It's time to be proactive, because all the states around us are doing it, and we have to take advantage of what I consider a very growing, if you will, no pun intended, economy.
So this Giambra, in his campaign, he's talking about taking proceeds from marijuana taxes and doing infrastructure with it. He says, quote, I think that legalizing marijuana and using the revenues to create an infrastructure fund to deal with these problems, speaking of subway repairs and other transportation products, how to deal with these problems is a much more appropriate way to solve our problems than raising new taxes, end quote. How many times on this podcast have I told Democrats, you better get in front of the marijuana legalization issue, because the minute Republicans are able to jump away from the social conservatives and the moral prudes who think marijuana is the devil's lettuce and a tool of evil that leads straight to heroin, when they're free to jump away from the moral social conservative angle on this, which they are now, with Gallup polls showing 70 or 64% legalization support and 93% medical marijuana support, the minute they could jump away from that tether to the moral right and be able to say, hey, states' rights, economic opportunity, fund government without raising taxes. I told Democrats time and time again, this is such a natural fit for the Republican worldview that the minute they realize it fits in their frame, they're going to snatch this issue away from the Democrats. They're going to paint Democrats as nanny state, big government prudes.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
Yeah, so did I, Mr. President. Anyway, if I had a dollar for every time I said something on this podcast that later turned out to be true, I could afford to do this podcast. Hey, it's 20 after. Time for our union-mandated safety briefing. We'll be right back with a radical rant and a piece from Al Harrington, former NBA player, on smoking pot with his grandma.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This is high purity THC content marijuana, and it's not a healthy substance.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Who else has been taking your prescriptions? Keep your medicine and your family safe and secure. Mind your meds. To learn how, visit the partnership at drugfree.org.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Just say no.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was
the point. I think we'd be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Today I want to take a look at a piece written on the PlayersTribune.com, which is a website for current and former professional athletes to, you know, write about the various subjects they're interested in. And this piece that was printed today, published today, it's called 9 Reasons to End the War on Marijuana. It's written by Al Harrington, who's a retired player for the National Basketball Association. It's a great piece, and I think what I like most about it is the humanizing aspect of it and how he portrays the use of cannabis in professional sports, in the NBA, how he contrasts that with the abuse of alcohol in the NBA, and a call for a better understanding of its medical uses and for the leagues and the associations to end the testing for it, like the NHL has. They don't test for marijuana. So I just wanted to read to you the first portion of this because it's so sweet. And I think it's teaches us a really great lesson about expanding access to cannabis in this country. So this is Al Harrington's piece, 9 Reasons to End the War on Marijuana. I remember the first time my grandma tried cannabis. She was 80 years old. We were sitting in my garage in Denver back in 2011. I just about fell out of my chair when she said she'd try it. She was 100% serious. But the story is even crazier when I tell you who my grandma is. She's a sweet little Southern Christian lady named Viola who still calls me Baby Doll. You know what? I'm not mad at that nickname. We've always been close. And the other thing is, she's always been scared of marijuana. She grew up believing what the government said about marijuana, about how it was as dangerous as other Schedule I drugs like ecstasy and heroin. You know, all that stuff we all heard about, how it made you a criminal, a bad person, a thug. So back in 2011, it was me and my grandma, the woman who still carries a Bible with her when she travels, hanging out in the garage I had turned into a den. And we were just sitting there talking when she dropped it on me. She had been struggling with chronic pain for a long time. It was a day I'll never forget. My grandma had never told me about her pain before. She started telling me about the constant throbbing behind her eyes. It was getting worse, to the point where it was affecting her vision. It was tough for me to see her like that. "Is that you, Baby Doll? I can barely see you there." She'd say stuff like that. It was hard. She told me that her doctors prescribed her painkillers and other medicine. They weren't helping, and they were making her lethargic and depressed. She was miserable. It had been going on for years. Marijuana was already legal in Colorado, but I didn't mess with it yet. I was still in the league, and the NBA tested for it. But even more than that, I still had antiquated views about it. I viewed it the way I saw it as a kid, as a scary drug, and nothing more than that. But on her second day staying with me, she shocked me by agreeing to try it. You have to remember, this is a God-fearing old lady from the South who never touched a drug in her life. She didn't drink alcohol. She didn't even like going out to restaurants. My grandma, man, old school to the core. But she was desperate for an alternative. Nothing's been the same for her since she tried it. The day after she had cannabis for the first time, she called my mom to tell her about it. My mom actually recorded the conversation because she was so shocked. On the recording, you can hear my grandma saying how her whole world felt brighter. She was calling it a miracle. "I can read my Bible again," she was saying. Since then, my grandma has continued taking cannabis, and she's found the right dose for her symptoms. She's in far less pain, and it's pretty incredible to see. Now, you know a little about my grandma. She's a cool one. So let me ask you, is my grandma doing something wrong? According to federal laws, she is. She's committing a crime. Is that where we're at? Are we really trying to put grandmas in prison for using marijuana to treat pain? That is a fantastic bit of writing from Al Harrington, and it gets better from there. I really encourage you to go out to theplayerstribune.com. I'm sure it's up there on the front page for you to be able to take a look at that, share it. I'll put it out on my Facebook and Twitter accounts later today. But that's the kind of discussions we need to have with people. I think sometimes as activists, we get a little too bogged down in the facts, science, reason, and logic. And you know me, I love to look shit up, and I love to throw a good stat like the rest of us. But when it comes to actually changing hearts and minds, you can have all the facts, science, reason, and logic in the world, and it's not going to help. People make their decisions and see their world in frames, and they're not necessarily logical or rational. They're based on identity and shared culture and propaganda and fear and all sorts of emotions. So when you need to change someone's mind, a personal anecdote like this, forcing someone to take this away from the abstract, is it dangerous? How many deaths does it cause? How potent is it? What percentage? Get away from all the numbers and start talking personal stories. I used this back in 2012 when I debated Kevin Sabet. I made sure to keep it personal. And it always came back to, why do you feel the need to have government force me to stop using marijuana upon the penalty of imprisonment? Why is there the need to stop me? It's always about, you know, me or someone personal. In Al's life, he can say, why do you want to lock my grandma up for treating her pain? And this is a part in the discussion where the distinction between medical and recreational gets made. This is where the prudes who still hate pot, more accurately, hate potheads, can step aside and say, oh, no, we'd never lock up Al's grandma. No, we support medical marijuana. As long as you've got a good enough sympathetic story, we're fine with you being a degenerate pothead. That's really what it comes down to. Medical marijuana is just a moral balance here. Didn't think of the term. Scale. Balance. Is a moral balance where the person is still ascribing to marijuana bad things, but giving you an exception because worse things are happening to you. Oh, yeah, you're 80 years old and your eyesight's fading and you got a lot of pain. We can let you be a pothead. It's okay for you to be a pothead, but you, healthy fellow over there playing basketball in the NBA, no, we can't have you smoking pot, because if you do, what will the children think? The children might see you smoking pot, and they might think it's okay. That's where it really comes down to. And so whenever this gets around to the medical versus recreational discussion, one direction some people will take it is, well, all use is medical. All use is medical, but that doesn't wash for me, because what that ends up being is it ends up saying that pot is still a dirty thing, but we're all allowed to use it because all use is medical. We all have a good enough excuse to be dirty, degenerate potheads. It doesn't get to the root of the problem, and that is treating someone differently based on their choice of substance. It's just a form of bigotry. It's another bigotry. Bigotry based on someone's skin color, someone's class, someone's national origin, the language they speak, the religion they believe, or they like pot instead of beer, or pot instead of cigars, or pot instead of Xanax, whatever it might be. It's the treatment of people, treating someone differently, putting them in a lower caste based on something that has no bearing on what our status should be. To me, this is about us getting equal rights. This is still a civil rights issue to me. And that's why when we get to all the business talk and the business expos, I kind of leave it to y'all, because I don't care. I really don't care. I care about civil rights, and we have the right to do with our bodies and think with our minds whatever the hell we choose, so long as we're not harming others. And that's why, whether more kids use or we don't make tax revenue or anything happens, I don't care. This is about what freedoms we have. Are we free people or not? So thank you to Al Harrington for putting this out. And remember that the more senior citizens we can get on our side, the better. Every senior citizen we get on our side is worth 10 of us, 10 younger people. Seriously. And the way to get a senior citizen on your side, don't try to get them to smoke pot, although if they ask, go ahead. But get them some of the topicals. Get some of those topicals, some of those creams, and maybe lead them in with vaporization. Great ways to distinguish or to disentangle marijuana from its negative frames of the icky joint and the scraggly beard and the hippy-dippy kind of stuff. Plus, smoking has so many negative frames associated with it already, just from the anti-tobacco stuff. But if you can get seniors to vaporize or use topicals, that's a great way to get started. All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us here on this hump day. And speaking of hump day, we'll have some more of our regular interviewees coming up soon in the next week or so. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke.